Oh, John Kerry's Mideast peace talks have gone nowhere. Hey, all, Scott Horton here for the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. U.S. military and financial support for Israel's permanent occupations of the West Bank and Gaza Strip is immoral, and it threatens national security by helping generate terrorist attacks against our country. And face it, it's bad for Israel, too. Without our unlimited support, they would have much more incentive to reach a lasting peace with their neighbors. It's past time for us to make our government stop making matters worse. Help support CNI at councilforthenationalinterest.org. All right, you guys, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show, Scott Horton Show. Our next guest is Mark Hyden. He's from Conservatives Concerned About the Death Penalty. The website is conservativesconcerned.org. Back on the show with a bit of update on progress you guys have been making. Happy to have you here. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great, Scott. Thanks for having me back on your show.
Very happy to have you here. So, I guess, first of all, go ahead, before we get to all the new news, go ahead and tell us what you're about and how you got that way and what exactly it is that you're up to.
Sure. Well, we are a national network of conservatives and some libertarians who believe that the death penalty is inconsistent with our core principles. And many of us come to this conclusion because it's not pro-life, the death penalty, because it risks killing innocent life. And it's not fiscally responsible because it costs more than life without parole. And beyond that, I don't believe that giving an error-prone government the power to kill you, I don't think that's limited government. So many conservatives are coming out against it, and that's in part why Conservatives Concerned About the Death Penalty formed.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's also the whole thing about legalizing the actual profession for the individual killers who work for the state. It's not the same thing as, and, you know, I don't know. I think we talked about this before. I think you admitted the same kind of feeling that you'd be a little bit torn. You hear about the absolute cruelty of some crimes that people engage in. It's pretty easy to think, I really don't care what happens to that guy after this, as long as it's something terrible, you know? But, That does require then legalizing the profession of meting out that terribleness, and especially when you're talking about killing somebody, it's not like an immediate proportional response to a threat to life. It's oftentimes you're talking years and years, maybe decades later, where, you know, now nobody even knows whether it's retribution or it's supposed to just be a deterrent to somebody else or what we're even doing, but. You know, Johnson over here, it's actually his job to kill somebody.
That is pretty scary, and you're right. It does take decades generally to reach a death sentence or to actually implement the death penalty. And you're right, Scott, you're absolutely right that there's that guttural, subjective feeling where, you know, there's some crimes that it just seems like it makes sense, that are so heinous that they do deserve the death penalty. But, you know, I ask everybody to try to remove those subjective feelings when you're looking at objective policy and take a step back and ask yourself, do you really trust the government to efficiently, effectively, and responsibly mete out this kind of justice when the risk is they may kill an innocent U.S. citizen, which makes them no better than the murderers that they're trying to execute?
Right. Yeah, and I think, well, I don't know, it was probably a Brit said it first or something, but it is an American principle. I know because I learned it when I was a small kid that it's better to let 1,000 guilty men go free, or maybe an infinite number of guilty men go free, rather than to lock away and steal the life away from one innocent man.
That's right. That's a Blackstonian philosophy. And, you know, you can even go back to our forefathers. And certainly there's the Eighth Amendment, and some may agree or disagree about how that should affect the death penalty today. But we can certainly look at people like Benjamin Franklin, which I think most Americans probably like the guy, and James Madison, who was the father of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And both of those men completely opposed the death penalty. So this is not a new concept. It makes sense to oppose the death penalty if you're a conservative or you're a libertarian or you just are skeptical of government power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I think it's really important there what you mentioned about conservative consistency. This isn't like, well, we're conservatives, but we're against the death penalty. This is conservatism is mandating your opposition to the death penalty. Am I understanding you right here, Mark?
You are, and you know, you kind of touch on a point that I'm kind of ashamed to admit. I supported the death penalty for some years, even though I had some issues with it, and I knew it didn't line up with my principles, but I thought it was the conservative thing to do to support the death penalty. So I was willing I was willing to sacrifice some of my principles to support it. I tried to tell myself that, you know, maybe it is a pro-life policy if you can prove that you save more lives than you kill by accident. And that kind of utilitarian argument does not belong in conservatism or libertarianism.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's always been a contradiction that conservatives are against all the things that government does in the name of helping people. Not that I'm giving them points for actually helping people, you understand. But but it seems like conservatives are perfectly willing and, in fact, happy to support all of the most horrible things about government. It's most lethal violence, even use of atomic weapons, certainly aggressive invasions of Iraq, that kind of thing. That's a right-wing project. I don't know if you can call it a conservative one, but it's one that self-identified conservatives all over America sure lined up to support, and even torture and all kinds of things. And so it seems like, though, I guess from my point of view, if any conservative wants to be consistent like you are, at some point you're going to end up just not being a conservative anymore, and you're just going to be a libertarian because you realize that, yeah, all of those things about why government programs don't work apply to your local socialist security services known as the sheriff's department and police agencies and your court system and the very basic even constitutional structures. It's all basically the same mess, and for the same reasons. Government doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
I think there's a divergence that we've seen in conservatism, and I believe at least what I'm trying to go towards with my consistency, or at least what I hope is consistency, is bringing conservatism back to the traditional principles, not this new movement of pseudo-conservatism, which we've seen, you know, with Dick Cheney and many others. I'm trying to go back to the principles, and you alluded to this earlier, that you find it surprising that some conservatives would support the death penalty, but reject other programs that are run by the government. And I think you make an excellent point, because I know so many conservatives, including myself, who we don't trust the government to deliver a piece of mail, but yet we want to entrust the government the greatest power of all over its citizens, the power to take its citizens' lives. And I think there's a massive inconsistency there, and I'm glad you pointed that out.
Yeah. Well, and you know, not everybody can be a plumb line libertarian, but the more libertarian the conservative, the more reasonable it seems to me. And again, just because of the consistency that we're talking about. Like, I think, you know, we do live in an imperfect world, and I'm at least willing to entertain minarchist arguments for having a constitutional republic and things. And we can argue another time about whether that's actually workable or not. But I understand that people think, hey, the best you can do is to, you know, have regular elections and try to keep your security services in check in this way and whatever. And so it's a reasonable enough position, even if I disagree with it. And so one can be a conservative, but it should always be, yeah, so we support law and order with our local sheriff's department as our mechanism, but only because it's our best alternative we've been able to come up with so far, not because, you know, it's the right thing to grant a group of people the right to use aggressive force against others, not because, you know, we would definitely be doomed without them, but just, you know, maybe this is the best way of having a local security service we can come up with so far. That's still the far cry from, yeah, and they can torture people if they want, because freedom and whatever, you know, nonsense that we've heard over the last decade, especially.
Now, and you're absolutely right, and that gets into much broader foreign policy as well when you're looking at that. And you know,
but it's still, you know, just the blanket permission slip to government to go ahead and break the law to do what you say is right. That kind of attitude.
I agree with you, and there's a double standard of what the government decides is justice as opposed to what, you know, I think the average American would think is justice. And, you know, tortures shouldn't fit in with people's views of justice or suspending habeas corpus or anything like that. So you're spot on.
Yeah, and again, it all comes back to what should be at least the core of conservatism, the U.S. Constitution, and preserving you know, the very best parts of it anyway, the parts that protect our freedom. And, you know, the National Review Online, I'm sure you may have seen, Mark, ran an article recently about the police saying, hey, listen, law and order's great, but it shouldn't just be a knee-jerk responsive deference to all cops at all times, because, in fact, you know, these poor black people have a point. things have been getting a little bit out of hand here. And what's the right thing is the constitutional law, not necessarily whatever any police agency wants to do at any given time. And that is heroic coming from the National Review. That is a real step forward. And I don't know, I'm going to ask you on the other side of this break about the progress you've been having, and especially along those lines. One moment, y'all. We'll be right back with Mark Hyden after this. ConservativesConcerned.org. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new book by Michael Swanson, The War State. In The War State, Swanson examines how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy both expanded and fought to limit the rise of the new national security state after World War II. If this nation is ever to live up to its creed of liberty and prosperity for everyone, we are going to have to abolish the empire. Know your enemy. Get The War State by Michael Swanson. It's available at your local bookstore or at Amazon.com in Kindle or in paperback. Just click the book in the right margin at ScottHorton.org or TheWarState.com. All right, you guys, welcome back to the show. So I'm always trying to preach realignment. I don't practice it that well, but I do try. The best of the left, right, and the libertarians, we've got to get it together on peace and our Bill of Rights, or we won't have it anymore. And, you know, the death penalty, well, I don't know if that's exactly the Bill of Rights, but it's pretty close, and it's along the same lines of reigning in this government, which is more and more lawless all the time. And it's very important, Mark, right now that Barack Obama is in power. I don't think it's a safe bet that it'll be a Democrat next. It could very well be a Republican. And conservatives typically, I don't mean you, but other conservatives will be much harder to recruit to this cause when we have Republican leadership in D.C., and at least there's a big chance of that. But liberals tend to be pretty good on this kind of stuff, and I know there's a lot of Obama syndrome going around. But civil rightsy, politically correct liberals and progressives, they're pretty good on the death penalty pretty much by default, and they can, you know, I'm sure before you, it's probably every anti-death penalty group in America is mostly, you know, Quakers and pacifists and liberals and progressives of one kind or another. And then us libertarians, we're good on this stuff too. So, but now with you conservatives on board and leading more conservatives to get on board to build this national consensus, that's what it takes, right? It takes the politicians in the state capitals and in Washington, D.C., too, seeing that, listen, it's everybody against us. We don't have a demographic of political supporters that any longer support this issue. You know, our conservative voices are saying it's time to go ahead and change this too, and that's when the change will come, is when the people insist that the government consensus change along with ours.
That's right, Scott, and we're seeing that a lot of politicians are starting to get on board too. In Kentucky, Representative David Floyd, he's a Republican, a conservative, pro-life politician, actually sponsored the legislation to repeal the death penalty there, which it hasn't happened yet. We're seeing the same thing in Kansas. We're seeing it in Nebraska and many other red states where it's actually the Republicans that are leading the charge to repeal the death penalty. And when you look around in all the different states right now, and you're seeing all of these botched executions because states are they're buying untested drugs from secret sources, there's a real reason to want to repeal the death penalty, because apparently, you know, for the longest time I thought at least there's one thing the government can do, it's kill people. Apparently they can't even do that correctly. And they're not exercising transparency in government, because they're making it a secret where they're buying these drugs to cause death. And that bothers conservatives, that bothers libertarians, and bothers liberals. So this is an issue that can bring everybody together, and I think there's something beautiful in that message.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, bipartisanship for stopping doing something bad, that's nice for a change too. I don't celebrate bipartisanship for its own sake, but a consensus that, hey, it's time to go ahead and roll this back. And I'm sorry, this is kind of a distraction and a side note, but I have to ask, if you know the answer to the question, what's the mystery about killing someone? Why don't they just give them, you know, a whole drip bag full of morphine and just, you know, guaranteed way overdose of opiates? Isn't that make the most sense? That way, you know, at least feels a little bit nice on the way out. It's not like torturing them to death exactly, but you're guaranteed to stop their heart at some point with a morphine drip, right? Or not?
Well,
I don't understand.
Department of Corrections, I mean, they work with doctors to try to find ways that they view to be the most humane ways of killing someone, if there is such a thing. So they've found that certain drug combinations do the best at that, supposedly. And now that they can no longer get those combinations, now you're seeing different states get creative in the ways that they're trying to kill people. New drugs that they've never used before. And we're seeing the fruits of their creativity right now, and it's disgusting.
Oh, it is. It's just absolutely horrible. And by the way, I'm sorry, could you mention the two? There are two very recent bad cases, right? Could you describe those for us really briefly?
Well, you can look at what happened to Clayton Lockett in Oklahoma, where they tried to execute him, and after he didn't die, after about 45 minutes, they removed the IV. And then about an hour later, he had a heart attack and died because of partially what the drugs caused him on him. And then there was an execution in Arizona, which took a couple hours, and he made a lot of noises. Supposedly, they described it as he moved around like a fish at one point and made a lot of noises. Then there was another man in Oklahoma who was screaming out that my whole body is burning. This is not how the death penalty drugs are supposed to operate, but it's how they are operating. And this is having an effect not on just people that hear about this, but actually the Department of Corrections employees. This is having a major effect on them to see this firsthand, especially after many of them have started to create friendships with these individuals.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, yeah, because back to the decades on death row, they know them well. They all seen the Green Mile and everything. All right, well, now, so I'm sorry, because I've taken too much of your time up, and I want to give you some at the end of the interview here to talk about all the great progress that is in your recent press release here. It sounds like you guys are really doing some good.
Well, we've been all over. I've been staying quite busy, which is a good thing, but we've been to places that many probably didn't think that we belonged. We went to the Faith and Freedom Coalition's Road to Majority Conference with Ralph Reed, who used to head up the Christian Coalition. And I was a little nervous as I went in, but we exhibited there, and I only talked to one person who opposed what we were doing. Everybody else was completely supportive. And we returned to CPAC as well. And, you know, it was another great experience there. And I also spoke at the Young Americans for Liberty Conference. And, you know, those guys are great. We formed a strategic partnership with them. And if there's one group that understands why we should be skeptical of government power, I would have to say it's the younger demographic, and especially Young Americans for Liberty. And they've just been fantastic. Mm.
Yeah, no, that's really great to hear. Well, listen, I really appreciate all your efforts and, you know, building consensus on this issue. It's really important, especially coming from the right. I hope you can get, you know, as many Protestant ministers and even, you know, religious organizations and Catholics too, whatever you can do, whoever you can get on board for this thing, and really come from this from the right as hard as you can all the time and don't let up. And it's really, I know it's making a difference, you know. It's certainly changing the entire narrative around here that, well, only a hippie's against the death penalty, and all grown men who are serious and know what must be done around here support it. That's the kind of narrative that they use to get us into wars, too, and it's a lie. It's not true, and, you know, you're proving that fact, Mark.
Well, we're trying to end that fiction that's out there that says all conservatives support the death penalty, because they absolutely don't. So I thank you very much, Scott. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great. And then it's conservativesconcerned.org. And people can go there, conservativesconcerned.org, and find all the contact information and how to participate too there, right?
Yes, sir. And if they want to send me an email directly, info@conservativesconcerned.org, and I'd be happy to chat with them.
Okay, great. Well, thanks very much again for your time, Mark. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, y'all. That's Mark Hyden. He's at Conservatives Concerned about the death penalty. And they're doing some really great work over there. I hope you'll look them up again at conservativesconcerned.org. And again, he said his email address there is info@conservativesconcerned.org. Hey, all Scott here. If you're like me, you need coffee. Lots of it. And you probably prefer it tastes good, too. Well, let me tell you about Darren's Coffee Company at darrenscoffee.com. Darren Marion is a natural entrepreneur who decided to leave his corporate job and strike out on his own, making great coffee. And Darren's Coffee is now delivering right to your door. Darren gets his beans direct from farmers around the world. All specialty, premium grade, with no filler. Hey, the man just wants everyone to have a chance to taste this great coffee. Darren's Coffee. Order now at darrenscoffee.com. Use promo code Scott and save $2. darrenscoffee.com.
So you're a libertarian, and you don't believe the propaganda about government awesomeness you were subjected to in fourth grade. You want real history and economics. Well, learn in your car from professors you can trust with Tom Woods's Liberty Classroom. And if you join through the Liberty Classroom link at scotthorton.org, we'll make a donation to support the Scott Horton Show. Liberty Classroom, the history and economics they didn't teach you.
Hey, all Scott Horton here. It's always safe to say that one should keep at least some of your savings in precious metals as a hedge against inflation. And if this economy ever does heat back up and the banks start expanding credit, rising prices could make metals a very profitable bet. Since 1977, Robertson Roberts Brokerage, Inc. has been helping people buy and sell gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, and they do it well. They're fast, reliable, and trusted for more than 35 years. And they take Bitcoin. Call Robertson Roberts at 1-800-874-9760 or stop by rrbi.co. Hey, all Scott here for Liberty.me, the brand new social network and community-based publishing platform for the liberty-minded. Liberty.me combines the best of social media technology all in one place and features nightly classes, guides, events, publishing, and so much more. Sign up now and you get the first 30 days free. And if you click through the link in the right margin at scotthorton.org or use the promo code Scott when you sign up, you'll save $5 per month for life. That's more than a third off the regular price. And hey, once you sign up, add me as a friend on there at scotthorton.liberty.me. Be free. Liberty.me.